Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode number 96. Show where we talk about the Linux operating system and all of its facets. Linux is all around us, whether you know it or not, so it's a good thing to know a thing or two about it, I would think. Let me see if the man who co-hosts the show agrees with me, and we'll say hi to him. Door-to-door geek Steve McLaughlin from DoorToDoorGeek.com, the Linux Maven. What's up, Door?
Hello, sir. I was reminded again this week, thinking negatively causes negative things, and thinking positively causes positive things.
It's so true. It works.
It honestly does, and I keep harnessing back to my memory of first time I watched Yellow Submarine by the Beatles. Well, it's quite inebriated. And George Harrison said, "Don't you know, it's all in the mind, you know." Kind of true words there.
Yeah. I think we are, we're much more powerful than we give ourselves credit for, and we can kind of make things happen by just wanting them to happen. So, do hope for good things, envision good things, picture good things, and you'll get good things.
Yeah, if you just sit there all day complaining about how everybody hates you, everybody's going to hate you.
Yeah. And you're not going to have any agreement with you. You're just going to sit there miserable all day. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I had some very good news.
Okay.
After the last cast, I kind of, I don't want to say went off there at the end, but, this is not a cast where, emotions give us good ratings kind of thing, good numbers.
Right.
So I kind of digress when possible. But at the end, I kind of said how I kind of felt, I don't want to say depressed, but down that I wasn't selected, by OLF. And it's partially because I'm an idiot,
and I to speak at OLF.
Yes. To speak at OLF in a class or room kind of thing. And when they are closing registrations for talks, that doesn't mean the process is done. That just means they're going to now start to accept people to do talks.
Oh. Like the application period is over.
Yes. And I will say, I think two people messed with me when I said, "Have you heard anything back from them yet?" And they both said to me that they were accepted. And I'm like, "What? Man, I haven't heard nothing." Well, no one was accepted except for the keynote speakers and the big people.
They were messing with you?
That's the only thing I can think. Or they misunderstood a communication, which, Moose said has happened in the past. They always like to review their process and make sure things are stated very clearly. But once in a while, people do basically read stuff wrong.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Yeah. So it's done. The only information I really know yet this far is that Saturday is the day I believe they have their paid class of how to install Linux. And I believe that's the class where if you pay a little bit more, like $100 more, you get a moderate laptop. Now, it's not a i7 8-core machine. Last year, I believe it was a dual core with 2 gigs of RAM and like a 120 gigabyte hard drive, which to me is fair,
For $100?
Yeah, it was dirt cheap. It was literally, I want to say it was $100. And if you looked at the same thing on Newegg or whatever, it was like 280.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's what it looks like to me in the communications, which I might have misread. I'm going to be after that paid class where I'm going to basically, the title of my talk is "Now What?" Okay. You have Linux installed. Now what?
It's the perfect follow-up to that paid course.
In hindsight, yes. And that's pretty much what they said to me, that it was the perfect follow-up period. So I feel good about that.
That's awesome.
Of course, with it, stomach rumbling and a little pressure, but it's good. I asked for it, and I think in the end, it's going to end up being a very positive experience. You know, the bottom line is I know I'm going to have fun. Oh,
now, how did positive thinking get involved with this?
Well, basically, the day after that, I just said I'm not going to stress about it. I'm going to focus on going to OLF here in a couple months and having fun.
You mean after you felt down, and decided this changed your frame of mind?
Well, yeah, after the cast and like the next day, I said it's just a waste of time to focus on it. Complete waste of brain cycles, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm compiling Windows 8 on my Linux box. What's the point? You know, there's no point to it. So I just decided to get that out of the head and just focus on, you know, good stuff happening, fun stuff happening, the podcast, the family, you know, stuff like that. And then basically the day the show came out, the next day, Kevin, the guy who sends us the news links mm-hmm. about things on, he basically dinged me on Google Plus and said, no, door. When we say registration's closed, we haven't picked anybody yet. It's like, oh. And then basically I think it was Moose piped up and said, you're selected.
You know, nice. You know. That's cool. So awesome, man. I cannot wait to go to that.
Well, and that's, I was going to ask you, here is a question. And I'm going to, honestly, I don't have the equipment. This is why I'm asking. And if you can't, Steve, I'm going to, hopefully someone else can help me out. I can record video or audio of my talk. My goal is to basically immediately publish it, you know. But we cannot tap into their systems. Reason being, someone basically tapped into their systems last year, insisting they knew what they were doing, and they basically damaged equipment that was on loan. So,
wow.
Can't blame them at all. You know, absolutely, you got to protect something that people basically gave to you to borrow. So I'm going to ask somebody out there if they could possibly bring a camcorder and a tripod, and I will happily, let's see, because I'll happily compensate them somehow.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I got a nice Canon HD camera. It'll look beautiful.
Oh, not HD. Need to put makeup on. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, and to be honest, the goal is pretty much as soon as I possibly can, maybe publish the audio as a Linux for the rest of us and put the video up on YouTube for people to look at, critique, and for YouTube people to say fake or it didn't really happen, you know, stuff like that.
That's not the real door.
Right. And I will say, Red Dwarf tipped me off on a little something. There's basically a brewing district kind of thing, like less than two blocks from the hotel. So walk and bam, there's people brewing fresh beer on tap. I'm giddily looking forward to that.
That'll be the after your talk celebration.
Or the before the talk, get the nerves down preparation.
No, dude, don't do that.
I know. I'm just kidding. I actually said that to somebody today, and they said, yeah, well, that could work. No, it's not going to work. I was just kidding.
Don't do that. Not worth it.
Yeah, so
I used to think I could play guitar very, very well when I was drunk.
Oh, well, and it sounds great.
To me. Yeah, I was wrong.
Yeah, I would say that was like me with video games, but you know, that's just because after playing them for 20 hours straight, you're going to get better.
Exactly.
Okay. I actually wanted to intercept, I don't even know what the right word is, shim in here a topic.
Okay.
Okay. I last week, I know I mentioned it on AAA. I believe I mentioned it here as well. Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I didn't realize about Kickstarter was when you have everything filled out and you hit submit, it's not submitted for final. It's submitted for a approval. So when I hit submit on Saturday or whatever, I thought, oh, it's going to be up and it's ready. Oh, what do you mean? And I read it. And I was like, oh, man, I have to go through their process. And I felt like I was submitting an app to Apple or something. But
you can't blame them.
Oh, I know. But I did get the word back today that indeed my Kickstarter is approved.
Yes.
Now, here is the rewards, because really the gimmick is rewards. Actually, first rewind. The goal of this project is to upgrade my hardware. Hardware, I mean screen, a second camera. So when I do Android videos, I can actually have a tight shot of the device and then a shot of me as well. Upgrade the computer and one or two little other things that would just help here. Because if you guys could see here, you would laugh at me because it really is kludgy, clunky, not well laid out. So the goal is to upgrade all that so I can produce higher quality videos. Now, that said, I've had, let's just say, well over 100 sales of videos. Not a single complaint in any shape, way, or form. The closest thing I had to a complaint was today. The guy said, you have a video on how to install Linux, but you don't have how to dual boot. And the reason kind of is it's easy to do a video on how to dual boot, but the issue always becomes how do you turn it back to a single boot system? That can be a little tricky. So I can't cover all the bases for all the issues. So the last thing I want to do is show somebody how to climb up a ladder, but not how to climb down a ladder.
Yeah. And you could just say it's tough to climb down the ladder at the end of the video or at the beginning.
Yeah. So that's, and he understood it was fair. I said, look, I'll look for a good YouTube video explaining it how I would. And if I don't find one, I'll create you something. Because, satisfaction guaranteed. That means satisfaction.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what you're all about.
Right. And my goal is to do 5 videos. Android intro for the people who have no idea what they're doing on their phone.
5 video series.
Yes, 5 different video series. Ubuntu 12.04, because that's the long-term 5-year supported EM edition. Linux home server. Video, Linux small business server, and Android advanced. That one's going to be probably one of the hardest ones to produce, but it'll be fun. Okay, now the rewards. Everybody knows with Kickstarter, the gimmick is what's the rewards? Okay, if you pledge $5 or more, you get one tweet and one Google Plus thanking you by name. $20 or more, you get what is involved in the previous, plus a thank you on the show, and you get a sample video pack from the next video series I produce, and you get 5 door-to-door geek stickers. $50, you get everything previously mentioned, plus you get the next video series for free. $100, everything mentioned before, plus a door-to-door geek t-shirt and 10 stickers. And then I was convinced by a friend to put this number in there, which is a 250 or more reward. You get everything mentioned before, plus you get the next 5 video series for free and a sample video pack from all future door-to-door geek video series production till the end of time.
What's a sample video pack?
A sample video pack is, let's say there's 10 videos in this series coming up. I'll give them 3.
I get you. Wow, those are good rewards, man.
Well, the goal is, to be honest, give them more value back than what they would be giving me.
Everybody should do the 250 straight up. Jeez. I'm not kidding.
Okay. Okay. Well... Okay, with that said, Steve, live on the show, I'm going to click the launch button for the Kickstarter to actually start. And it's going to be going on for, I believe I picked 31 days just because it wasn't 30.
Right, so, now you're going to press it?
Yes.
Okay, do it after 3, 2, 1, because I'm going to put a sound effect in there on the actual recording.
Okay.
So you could count it off.
3, 2, 1. Funding ends. It? Yes, I did. I was just in awe. I did only pick 30 days. I was wrong. Funding ends Thursday, August 9th.
Okay.
So that is the day it will end. I have read. I hit again launch. So apparently there's two launches, but that was the important one. Now the project is launched. If you go to kickstarter.com/projects/door-to-door geek, and that should make you land on my page.
Very cool, man. It is officially launched. It's live. And I hope I get this show released before August 7th.
That's a long way away, Steve. Come on. You have to shoot for a little bit higher than that.
Good job, man. Yeah, and best of luck to you.
Well, and to be honest, a friend also said that I should say something like this. A lot of people, you know, I don't want to say are tight with their money, but podcasts are free, and most of the stuff on the internet is free. What I kind of believe is, if you, honest to goodness, feel like I have given you a benefit, whether it be, you know, I taught you about a new app, taught you about a new process, helped you out to get something done correctly, or if you just think it's funny when I mispronounce words, that's entertainment value. I would appreciate any and all help for this project that anyone is available to give. I really don't want this to go like $20,000 or $2 million because that's just ridiculous. And I wouldn't know what to do. I would just call out of work, lay in bed and suck my thumb. That's
for the first day. And then you'd cheer for a week straight.
Well, then I'd be putting out a lot of videos. Let me tell you about Steve. And they would be much less money. Let's just say that. So, you know, if you perceive value from this podcast, if you perceive value from anything I've ever done before, I would ask that you pay it back.
Yeah, I would also like to say, if you've ever felt like you wanted to give Dor something for all that he's done, this is the opportunity. This is where he's actually asking and opening the door for that. So if you want to feel like you want to exchange with Dor for what he's done, now's your chance. Just do it with the Kickstarter, and it's the perfect opportunity. So I say go for it.
And it will be appreciated, trust me.
Period. Of course. We know Dor. We know.
Okay, let's go on to some serious business here. Last week, I told everybody how Linux wasn't perfect. You know, we have these issues every now and then. They happen, you know?
Yes.
But here is what some people are saying will be a historic moment of greatness.
All right.
And it is a direct feather in the cap of Linux. We all know CERN, Large Hadron Collider, and the Higgs boson, quote-unquote God particle, they found what they believe is enough proof to say, yes, it does exist. Okay. I still have not found anybody who has the ability to describe what this actually is in less than like 50 words, so it's really comprehensible.
Where did they find that existed?
Higgs boson. Boson is a type of particle.
Mm-hmm.
No. Boson is a description of, you know, the particle. Higgs was the guy that first theorized the existence of this particle. This is a particle that they believe was very key and influential into the creation of the universe. And it is a particle that can transcend dimensions.
Wow.
Deep. That's all I got to say. Deep stuff here.
Yeah.
Well, we all heard how Linux is running the Large Hadron Collider, because really, if there's a chance a black hole could happen, you don't want Windows running it. That's all I got to say. But more importantly, the number crunching systems themselves, where they're like their desktop, their network stations, where they're actually analyzing the data that comes out, which I will say, for 1/1,000,000th of a second of data, I want to say the last I heard it was like 5 terabytes of data. That's how much data this system has the ability to gather. Okay.
Wow.
And the end user systems that they were using to discover this particle, that was Scientific Linux,
okay,
which it's scientific. So no one should be shocked at that. But with that said, because of the modularity, the flexibility, the scalability, the open nature of Linux, people do have the ability to create a custom distribution explicitly for scientists to use. To me, that's kind of epic.
Yeah. That's like Windows Scientific Edition.
Right. Which will never happen because they won't be able to make enough money off of it because they can't sell, 50 billion copies of it.
Right.
So I honestly feel this is a huge feather in the hat of Linux long term. But, time will tell. But either way, I just think it's really cool that and I did read, I thought one time, that the key command that they ran to verify what was going on was the top command. Top command is in almost every Linux imaginable, even the little tiny ones like Puppy and DSL. Go to the terminal, type top, and you see process names, memory usage, process cycles, and some other information. But somehow they said that the top command was the verification that they were right.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Very cool. And as soon as I find somebody who can explain it to me without handing me a book, and they use words that normal people use, I'll be happy to relay that information.
In that article that you are referencing at linuxinsider.com, there's a link to a YouTube video, or there's a link to another article that with a YouTube video that describes Higgs boson. So maybe that will help you. It looks like it's pretty graphic.
I think that might have been the one I watched, and it was like, I would literally need a translator.
Okay.
I think because, these guys are really smart.
Okay.
Okay. Next topic here. I'm only going to bring up a couple of these a week as it is relevant. And what I mean by that is, if stuff keeps coming out about the Raspberry Pi, I'm going to keep talking about it from time to time. I will say, I have been using mine as a local web server and Samba share server on my network. I have a laptop hard drive in a little dock with a USB plug going into the Raspberry Pi.
It's working good?
I haven't had to turn it off now in 2 weeks. It's been running nonstop.
Wow. Excellent. Does it get hot?
Sitting there. It gets a little warm to the touch, but I wouldn't say hot.
Huh. Excellent.
Yeah. And what I found was over at raspberrypi.org/phpbb3, they basically have a forums set up, and it's loading now, where you can see, I don't want to say official, but you can see a lot of things that are going on. If you scroll down to projects, that's the one that interests me, because you can see what people are doing with their Raspberry Pi. And the subsections to projects are automation, sensing, and robots. That's hot. Media centers and gaming, just as hot. Networking and servers, some people could say boring. Graphics, sound, and multimedia. That one is at least going to be, in my eyes, a little bit challenging because of the graphics. And these things ain't beasts, they're lower-end processors. But the streaming, sound, multimedia, definitely possible. Yeah. Next one, cases. This is where people are going crazy, Steve. They're turning all kinds of stuff into cases, which we have a link for later. Screens and displays, magazines and books, and other projects. And in other projects, there's 1,021 topics. So,
wow.
There's a lot more.
Wow. Yeah, it's hugely popular. I mean, if you look at the dates everything's posted, it's all current, like up to almost like up to the hour of posts that are going into this thing.
Yeah, this is the one I think where you, if you want to search for something popular, where if you do post the question, let's just say it will probably get answered in like 2.5 minutes. You know, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, well, there's actually one post that's in the future because it's not that time yet here. It says it's posted at 10:20 p.m.
Yeah,
it's only 9:30 here. So there's definitely future posts up there too.
Or they're showing the over the pond time or something.
I know. I just wanted to pretend.
I guess I don't know.
Or Pacific time.
Right.
Wait,
right.
That wouldn't be.
No, pond way.
Maybe, yeah, pond way.
Okay, this next one, this is the one, 8 interesting DIY Raspberry Pi case ideas.
Of course, Lego.
Oh, you gotta have Lego. I will say this was the one that I clicked on and I literally just kept going down the line just laughing at them because I would want a couple of them.
Sure.
The one that really caught my eye, even though it looks a little clunky, was the Nintendo Super NES Ultra? Super Nintendo game cartridge, where they took one of the greatest games of all time. And if someone says I'm wrong, I'll say sit on it, because this is one of the best games of all time. GoldenEye 007 for Super Nintendo. Oh. So much fun with that game.
And he called it Golden Pie on the cartridge. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then if you scroll down, you can see some of them almost look janky, I'll say. Yeah. But I really like the Atari case. I think that's pretty hot. I didn't look at any of the videos, only because I was at work. But it looks like... there's not a lot done to it, but I will say the Walkman Retro Pie, as they call it,
awesome.
Beneath that is really cool. And then, of course, there's one for Sean John Sony. It's Imperial Pie Fighter instead of a Imperial Tie Fighter.
That's great.
So I thought that was really cool.
I like the two of them that you didn't mention. I like the one that you put it into a keyboard. I think that's neat.
They didn't have enough pictures showing.
I know. This site definitely needs more pictures of these things. It's not good. And I like the green cardboard box, frankly, to be honest. Simplicity at its best.
Well, the only gimmick with that one is you either have to have one of two things. The plugs supporting it so it's floating off of the bottom of the cardboard case, or you need some kind of lifter so it doesn't lay completely flat on the bottom, just so there's a little bit of place for air to go, I would think, because it is cardboard.
It has some ports on it. Maybe if the ports go through the actual holes in the box, that lifts it up. The ports might be supporting it, is what I see.
That's what I'm hoping.
That's
what I'm hoping, but it's not clear. And they did have, I did have one at work, I could print it out, but it was only regular paper, so I figured it was a complete waste of time.
Sure. It is. This is called Punnett. P-U-N-N-E-T.
We're almost done with the pie stuff, guys. This one's just a super quickie. There is a summer programming coding challenge being put on by Games Britannia. Britannia. I should know how to say that from Ultima. But it's basically there's two categories, ages 13 and under and ages 14 to 18. A $1,000 first prize and 5 200 runner-up prizes. The aim is simple. We want you to impress the judges with a piece of software that you've written for the Raspberry Pi. So I'll just say, if you're under 18, I think it would be a really good time to learn Python and Zenity, what I mentioned last week. Python, it's documented so many different places. You can learn anything you want in a matter of minutes about Python. And Zenity is a very easy on the eyes, quick graphical interface to do stuff. I think they could be the two entry points to make a really cool app.
Wow. Very cool. $1,000 to a kid under 13 is like $1 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? They're thinking, do you know how many baseball cards I can buy with that? You know, or Legos or whatever. Yeah. Cause with that, I don't know if you've seen it, Steve, they have a Lego Death Star Space Station, the big globe, right? Mm-hmm. It's literally like 3.5 feet in diameter, and it's like $400.
Really?
Let me tell you something. If I was that age and I got that kind of money, I would be buying that. It would take me 3 months to put it together, but I would enjoy every minute.
Yeah, that would be the fun. That's really cool.
Maybe I should do a Kickstarter for that. No, I'm just kidding.
Next one.
Yeah. And they do have a poster that is very... I would just say Raspberry Pi like. It's very contrasty and it's very simple colors with big terminal style text.
Poster?
Yeah, on the next link in the notes.
Gotcha.
It's basically just simple. If you are age less than or equal to 18, write app, submit app. If date is less than or equal to September 1st, 2012, if random 10,000 equals leet, print, win $1,000. So
that's awesome. I love that. Is that basic?
Yeah.
That's basic.
Honestly, I will say it's a basic like language, but I've never seen write app, submit app.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. Okay.
But print is like Python and a couple other languages. Okay. So I can't say Python. So, okay. Last Pi thing. And this is the one that's going to like the fewest amount of people. Like,
we're
going to
get hate mail from all the Pi stuff.
I don't care. Write all email to doortodoorgeek@freedommail.co. I don't say that. Okay. This next one is that PwnPi.net, and it looks like it's down.
I know.
PwnPi.net. The only thing I can think is they got hacked. So later, look at PwnPi.net. Sorry, PwnPi.net. If I didn't say that right.
But it's PwnPi.net.
Ah, there you go. It's back up. They heard we were coming. Yeah, and what this is, it's a very simple Linux base penetration testing Dropbox distribution for the Raspberry Pi. It currently has 181 network security tools pre-installed. And Debian Squeeze Solid, XFCE is the Windows Manager. Fairly light, very feature rich. So if you want to get your pwn on, Info Lookup is one of the guys who I know. This just makes him want to pie more than ever.
Linux base penetration testing Dropbox distribution for wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. This next one I gotta mention only because Throttle in the Podnuts forums again brought something up that, to be honest, I think I might have mentioned, but it was a while ago. I'll just say that. Don't know how long ago it was, but I'm pretty sure it's a while ago.
Yeah, it looks familiar.
Yeah, and I will say the only bad thing about this website, before I mention it, I cannot find a simple list of games. I can find download, purchase, live chat, forums, news, donate. Home, slideshow, donations, download, live chat, forums, suggestions, purchase. But it's called Super Gamer, supergamer.org. And what it is, it's basically all kinds of games that you can download or purchase. I'm guessing you really have to purchase to get the full benefit out of it, because Quake Wars, Unreal Tournament 2, 2004, Quake 4, Doom 3, Postal 2, E.T., Sauerbraten, and Torque 5 are the ones shown in their screenshot.
I'm looking at Torque now. It looks interesting.
Well, I'll say all of these games are definitely not new, but still very good quality in looks and in gameplay. I will say that.
And what does this site do? It allows you to play them on Linux?
Yeah, it's basically a distribution just for gaming.
Oh, it's a distribution. And it comes with these games?
That's the impression I get, which they're, at least some of them, by some of them, I mean most of them mentioned, are closed source games where I believe you have to purchase the game.
Gotcha.
And it's a live DVD is what it is.
Interesting.
So you don't actually put it on your computer. You just boot to it, play games, reboot back into your normal OS.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
They even have a laptop version focused on mid-range video cards.
Oh, good.
That's smart.
I'm all about mid-range video cards.
I'm all about very old video cards.
Me too.
Yeah. And I got to say, this looks really cool. I'm tempted to see how much this costs, because there is a purchase on there. I think I just clicked one of the wrong links, and now it's thinking, there you go. Super Gamer, $10.99. 64-bit desktop version, $7.50. Super Gamer desktop, $6.99. Mega Drive, $62. USB.
So it just comes, you get the USB with it, the drive with it.
Wow.
16 gigs. All right.
Cool. Thank you very much, Throttle. I don't have time to play games anymore, but I would like to. And speaking of games, Ven Stone on Google Plus. I honestly don't think I've ever came across someone who knows more about gaming than him. And when I say gaming, I mean the engine, how things are made, the process of creating games, the finer points about what really makes a good game good and a bad game bad kind of thing. He basically, every day it seems like, is posting new content over at LinuxGameCast.com. And he posted this one that I never heard of before. It's called Flare. And Flare stands for, any second now, Free Libre Action Role-Playing Engine.
Huh.
So what this means is, this is not a game. This is basically a back end for gamers to create their games off of.
Neat.
Yeah. I will say they classify this as Diablo-esque game engine, which means top down, three quarters view, I believe is the way of saying that.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. And basically what it looks like to me is, this is the kind of thing, it's out now. Maybe in a couple weeks you'll see someone do something with it, but then it will take maybe a couple months for someone to really complete a whole system with it. And if you go to FlareRPG.org. That's the actual homepage of Flare, and they do have Flare for Windows, OS X, and Linux. So, cross-platform goodness.
Yeah, it's I can only imagine how much time it takes to making games. I mean, so much detail.
Well, and it only gets worse, I think, because players demand more.
Yeah, it's true.
And more. And more.
That's why they're like multi-million dollar productions these days.
Yeah, that's why most popular games cost more than most movies.
Sure.
Okay. Steve, I have to mention this one, next one, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. First, the tagline of this new computer. Wow. A computer designed for you, not your grandchildren.
Okay. Good premise so far.
I guess it's called the Wow Computer for Seniors. And if you go to firststreetonline.com, they basically have this computer for sale. Okay. It is running what appears to be a customized Linux interface, at least. Don't know what the back end is. But everybody
this is a genius idea. Do you know that?
Well, it can be. I'll say that it can be a genius idea if it's done right.
All right, you sound a little skeptical about this. Why?
Well, okay, here's why. CPU AMD dual core 1.6 processor, 20-inch high definition monitor, 16:9, 1600x900, touch multi screen. Multi-touch. Graphics card, AMD Radeon 6300, not NVIDIA. RAM is 2 gigs, wireless Ethernet, 500 gigabytes.
Okay, you're saying it's overpriced.
Yes. I mean, for what you get, and that's only a dual core 1.6 gigahertz processor.
Well, it's an E-series, the E350. Yeah, the hardware is definitely overpriced. Even though it's an all-in-one, this right. You know, this would sell with Windows on it for like $600, maybe $400 to $600.
Yeah, and it does come with 1 year hardware warranty. So I guess
who cares? That's, no, they're definitely. Yeah. I see what you're saying now. They're definitely feeding off the ignorance of grand people.
Okay, it looks like this is based off of Tiny Core Linux, which just means very trim, very light kernel, like the boot up time should literally be 6 seconds. Something like that. And honestly, here's one of the gripes I have. This is stereotype and a stat, let's say. Most older people have bad eyes. You want to give them as big of the monitor as possible you can. 20 might not be big enough.
It's not that. I don't think so. I don't think it's the size of the monitor. I mean, look at the graphics on it. The buttons are huge. I think that he could get away with it. I don't think that's the issue. I think your first thing is more of an issue. It's pretty expensive for what the hardware is.
All right. And I'll say it looks decent. I mean, the computer itself looks like a fine computer, but it has a big Wow sticker underneath the monitor, which if my grandparents had, I would have to just get that off. Just, you know, delete it.
They would love this thing. Grandparents are going to love this thing. If they market this well, I mean, wow, I just said it. Wow. That's a great idea.
Right. Now, on the left side of the main interface, which I'm assuming you powered up and you don't have to log in, number one, because that's too complicated. But on the left, it has home, and these are like the main buttons, video chat, email, photos, calendar, contacts, web, games, write, and more. So to be honest, it here's the whole thing. It can be a good idea if they've really sat down with a bunch of seniors and really tested this interface and actually made it so it is functional for them to use. $999. My logic is seniors don't have a lot of expendable disposable cash. I mean, am I a fool?
Possibly.
I mean, you know, they are on fixed incomes and they want $999 for it.
People can afford it, Thor. Their seniors will buy laptops for their grandchildren and stuff. They have money. They have money.
Gotcha. I really wish that in 3 to 6 months I could get sales numbers for this thing, you know, to see how good it's actually doing. But, you know, we won't know. I will say, if you click on reviews on their page, it's all like 4 out of 5, 5 out of 5, 5 out of 5, 5 out of 5, 5 out of 5.
Of course. I think it's silly. I think it's actually a bad marketing decision to have open reviews on your website. I've been to Sony's website several times where they get blasted on their own website. That's stupid. You know,
I was going to say, we don't really know if these are open reviews. I'll just say that. Just because they're all so positive makes me think maybe not.
Okay, yeah.
Because I agree. You have open reviews, you're going to have all kinds of flamers jumping in.
Of course. I mean, you're going to have good ones, but if your product is mediocre, it's going to be on your website saying it's mediocre. It's just bad marketing.
Right. And I will say one thing that I don't know if it's good or bad. On that page, if you click on the video tab, they literally show you in very slow hand movements how to take everything out of the box and physically connect it up. And it is a hardwired keyboard and a hardwired mouse. Now, I will say the bad thing about hardwired mouse and keyboard is they have to plug it up. Okay. The good thing about it, though, is if the battery dies, they won't call up your support and say, my computer stopped working.
Right. So, I mean, it's two USB ports. They could probably handle it. But yeah, you're right. There's quite a few things he's plugging in there. You're right.
Yeah. And I will say, if this is successful, I'm thinking it's going to be the kids buying it for their parents.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just rambling on, Steve. I'm senior citizen almost. Didn't you know that?
Well, if you are, that means I am.
Yeah. Well, you know, could be worse.
It's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. I think they do think they're overpriced, but I think it's a good idea.
I agree that it is needed. You know, we have all these devices focusing towards different things. For Lord's sake, we had Facebook phones come out. You know, why not have we have kids distros we've went over more than a couple times on this podcast, like Doodoo Linux. And I do just like saying Doodoo Linux, but why not? I mean, That's the real thing. I come to the end of why not? If I can have a geek distro and they can have a gamer distro, and why not a senior citizen computer? I just, you know, wish them luck. I like to see how popular it is, though.
It's all about the marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. This one, it's technically an Android thing, Steve, but I will say, this could become a Linux thing. I'm early on the train. I don't know if that means, or I'm way off base.
What is it?
Okay. It's a very small, basically watch face sized computer.
Neat.
Okay. Now, the bad thing is it's made by Sony.
Okay.
I hate Sony. But it's called the Sony Ericsson Live View. And it's micro display for Android devices 2 and up. Okay. You can buy like a little watch band for it. And essentially, this is a... Remember on when Windows 7 first came out, they tried selling all these stupid laptops with extra screens. Either below the monitor, you had a little screen. Or if you close the lid, there's a little screen on top. Do you remember them? They were huge bust. The logic was you could have your laptop closed, yet on that screen you could see 5 unopened emails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Stupidest thing ever, okay? Well, this is kind of that for Android, okay? You have your little watch face, and on that you can see how many Facebook messages you have, how many text messages you have, who's calling you. And there is a little bit of customization you can do. Here's the thing. It's only $29. Okay. That's almost disposable in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, because this did kind of semi-recently come down in price, I can kind of honestly believe because of the price being so low, this might actually become a hack device where people start buying it because it's so cheap just to try to hack it.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Yeah. And if they're successful, well, then I'm buying one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, with its current OS here, it's just getting mediocre reviews. It reminds me of like a $99 CVS Android netbook type experience you're going to have with this thing.
Yes. And I will say it looks like you can actually do some kind of updates to Twitter or Facebook. My guess is it's probably just like a check-in type thing.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I never check into any place because I don't want to pull up my device, unlock the screen, hit the app, hit that, and then hit submit.
Right.
Not that I would do it if I had this, but it would be easier. Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that because it could be something cool if people start hacking it. But with that said, the flood of small computers is right now, to me, it's like at the peak of the crescent of the beginning of the wave, whatever the hell that means. It's going to get only more. I think.
See. Yeah. Yeah.
And it took me a while to get there.
I agree. I agree.
This one I wanted to mention because I really do think at least part of the audience of this podcast are computer repair techs. Okay. I found this interesting. I toyed a while ago about the idea of having a customized Linux distribution for computer techs to do stuff. I will say the ideas I had were grandiose compared to this device, but simple can be successful too. Okay.
Yeah.
Over at blog.cron.com. If you listen to Twit at all, you've heard that about a billion times. And it is from Dwight Silverman, who I believe is the guy who's on Twit once in a while. And he's gray, just like I thought he would look, but I'm gray too. And he's talking about a thing called a fix me stick. F-I-X-M-E stick.
.com is the website.
I'm sorry. That is the official website for this device where you can buy it, basically. The one thing I could not get from this was, do you boot to this or not? I'm thinking it is.
I'm watching the video and I can't tell just yet. It's very cartoony.
Yes. That was almost useless.
Okay.
Because I watched it earlier as well and I didn't really get a lot from it.
So it's basically ready to go virus removal is what it does. It removes all types of viruses and malware and you can't harm your PC. Okay.
Which I think is a very bold statement because you can always hurt your PC.
Yeah.
False positive flagging. Now I will say, the likelihood of it damaging your PC is much less because A, this is not McAfee. This is not, what's the other bad one?
Norton? Norton?
Norton isn't as bad as anymore, but McAfee, you know, that one's horrible. I know that, like,
Computer Trend Micro.
Yeah. It is using what looks like Sophos, which I've heard of before, I've never used. Kaspersky, which, to be honest, I believe is one of the better, no, I'm not going to say the best, but one of the better AVs out there. Mm-hmm. And then Viper, V-I-P-R-E antivirus, which I do believe is a child product of McAfee. They bought it, but they still keep it separate.
Nice.
I will say I've heard nothing but good thing about the last two I mentioned. Sophos I've heard of, but I never heard anybody say good or bad about it.
I think Sophos is for the Mac.
I think you're right. And I will say what it looks like is you basically almost hands off insert this device, click a button, like auto runs, and let it rip, and then when it's done, you take it out.
It's a good idea. I mean, not good for computer techs.
Well, I'll say this. Maybe fantastic for computer techs to use themselves.
Yeah, right, to use themselves.
Right, but I will say this is what I do not like, okay? By one, it says for 1 year. So you have, this is a subscription model, which I can't stand. 1 year, you can only use it on 3 PCs and it costs $50. So you as a technician have to average into your price then an extra $16.66 or whatever per computer if you do intend on using this on each and every computer.
Yeah, this is not something good for a tech. It's not made for. Well, this is an antivirus that just is on a web, on a flash drive for normal people.
Yeah. And I will say for computer techs, way overpriced. For normal people, if it works even 60% of the time, I think that's a fair price.
It's the price of an antivirus. I mean, yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just want to bring that up. And of course, if you haven't figured it out by now, 98% of all bootable tools are Linux. Kaspersky, Cronus, AVG, Dr. Web, Trinity, NT Registry, whatever. They're all Linux, and it's because, I've said it a billion times, scalable flexibility. Okay. This one real quick, I wanted to mention, I'm not a developer, but if I was a developer, I would try to get this Ultrabook. Not, I almost said laptop. It's not a laptop. It's an Ultrabook. They're making a new Ultrabook over at Dell, and it's called the Sputnik. If you register at marketing.dell.com/Sputnik, you will be offered this Ultrabook at a reduced price. Don't know what that reduced price is. Instead of $1,000, it might be $995. I don't know.
Dell is now recruiting volunteers for the Sputnik Beta Cosmonaut Program. A limited number of applications say to receive a discounted beta version. With your help, your confidence new Linux will become. Ooh, I'll fill it out. Why not?
Yep. Oh, I am too. And this is running Ubuntu 1204 LTS. And to me, to be honest, 13-inch is almost my preferred size. I don't like 15s or 17s.
Yeah, it's a sweet spot there.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep typing this stuff out because I'm also filling it out.
What? You're filling it out right now? You expect me to carry the show?
No, oh, wait. I said I'm going to talk while I fill it out. I can do both.
I'd like to hear this.
Well, my title is president. My company is Door-to-Door Geek. You know, what else? Business email, Door-to-Door Geek at freedommail.co.
I know the next page is going to be like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I know. That's what I'm afraid of. 5931, because it's getting started and then contact info, and that looks like it's the end of the line. Number of employees. I got between 6 and 25 because, you know, I got the kids, got the house. Industry, education, baby. What machine do you develop on now?
Thor, at the bottom, you got to say, what would you like to discuss with Dell sales? Come on, dude. It's going to take too long. All right, you can do it. Go ahead. Go for it.
No, I'm done. I'll just put it in limbo till I'm done. Okay. But if you want to apply for a quote-unquote reduced rate Dell Ultrabook, I honestly think this could be a pretty nice device. I like the idea of an Ultrabook, but I have never handled one. So no? I really don't know.
Did you ever go to Best Buy?
No, because every time I go in there, I want to punch those incompetents in the face.
I'm not a big fan of Ultrabooks. I'm not really a big fan of the sharp edges these things have. I'd like a little bit of roundness on my laptops. I'm not a huge fan. MacBook Air, Ultrabooks, they're too pointy. I don't like it. Not for me.
I don't know. I've never seen one. I just know, you know, I really like light. I really like light. I'm going to be able to carry it around one hand with no issues. Okay. This next one, I want to bring up just to show a little bit of flexibility, okay, in Linux. And that is one of the hardest things some people have issues with is PDF files in general, no matter what the operating system is. It seems like the only way you can do stuff with PDF files is to buy Adobe Acrobat Professional. Ooh. Which, I mean, anybody supporting that company, number one, I honestly think has severe issues that we needed to discuss and get to the bottom of. But I will say there's a application called PDF Mod on Linux. And I'll say the thing I like about this is it's a command line interface, which means you can batch this to do complete directories of PDFs or, you know, on your whole computer, you can change every PDF with one command.
And it just modifies PDFs?
Yeah, what it does is you can reorder pages, rotate pages, remove pages, export images, so you can save all the images from a document, edit the text or export the text, change the subject, the author and keywords, and combined documents via drag and drop. So it does have a GUI interface, but I like the fact it also has a command line interface to where you can batch this stuff and automate it.
Neat. Oh, I see it. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I have had other PDF tools that I've tried before with very mixed success.
Really?
And by mixed, I mean the wife and the tax document. She's kind of upset, you know. So I had to boot up my XP VM just because time was of the essence, and by time I mean sanity. So I just did that.
Yeah, PDFs can get a little funky. I mean, it's just, you're right. Adobe's got it kind of nailed down, locked down themselves.
Well, and it makes no sense because I'm 99.999% sure the PDF standard is open.
Oh, really?
Which means how you access a PDF and how stuff is laid out in a PDF is open, completely open.
It's weird.
But the tools for it either have a hard time with it or
yeah,
the rules aren't strong enough or something, and so they suck. Okay, since I don't care, I think we're doing fine on time, Steve. I'm going to throw this last one out there, and I don't care. I'm a retro guy, and by retro guy, I mean I enjoy games that took skill, took some talent. You had to actually have good timing, good reflexes, or you really had to be smart to figure something out. Not games that just look pretty with a bunch of cleavage all over the place, which I think most new games don't focus on gameplay enough.
Right.
The key word there is gameplay.
Exactly.
I believe one of the pinnacles of gameplay in my lifetime was right around the time of the Super Nintendo. That's when we first got six buttons. We had the shoulder buttons, L and R, and X, Y, and A, B. And we had the directional pad.
Huh.
Just enough buttons to be complex, but not too much buttons where you literally had to get every finger involved.
Right.
Kind of thing.
And like two joysticks, well, and
Yeah.
Triggers
the
and
dual analog sticks. It's just like, dude, come on. That's too much. We're, you know, are we, you know, working a bulldozer here? Do we need two sticks really? But over at Tom's Hardware, there's a very, I'll say, simple mod, but it is a hardware hack, basically. The guy is able to make his Raspberry Pi basically boot into an emulator playing Super Nintendo games. Now, he has it basically right now in this video as a dedicated device. When you power it on, it starts up Super Mario Kart. But if you look at the video, I want to say it's like 30 seconds in or so, he actually shows you the things that he did. You can actually hook up two Super Nintendo joysticks to this, and it plugs into the Raspberry Pi natively. So you can use real Super Nintendo controllers without cutting the end of the cord off and changing all the wires and stuff. He's using the real socket.
Wow.
Yeah. And I will say boot up time seems fair on this. Not fantastic. Takes less than minute and a half. It takes less than 1 minute for the Nintendo logo to pop up, which is the first thing you would see when you would boot a genuine Nintendo Super NES cartridge.
Where is it at? Oh, it's Tom's Hardware. Okay.
Very cool.
It doesn't look pretty. He doesn't have it in a case. It's a jumbled mess of wires.
Yes.
But that's what happens when you hack video game systems. That's exactly what it looks like.
Well, no. I'll say this. That's what happens when you get something that you think is cool to work and you want to share it with everybody right now.
Yeah, right.
Right exactly. Now. You got to post it right now, man. You know?
That's really cool.
And I will say, I suspected this, and it looks like I'm right. Super NES and maybe even Nintendo 64, the reaction time is perfect. On this Super NES, you can see his hands on the controller and you can see the TV screen. I don't see any lag in anything that he is doing.
There was definitely no lag. I wouldn't expect there to be lag with such small, you know, these programs are so small back then.
Right.
Even the Raspberry Pi can nail it.
Well, which tells me on a 16 gig card, you can probably hold every Super Nintendo game possible.
This is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I just like watching the video. And he picked Yoshi. Why would you pick Yoshi?
Oh, no.
I mean, he turns quick and he has good acceleration, but he has no power and no top speed. I mean, come on. Come on. He loses credibility.
I wish I had input. Believe it or not, I've never played Mario Kart.
Oh, man. Rainbow Road, baby. Rainbow Road. That game was one of the first games where I was over a buddy's house and we literally just passed the controller around for like 20 plus hours. Just pounding the game. Pounding it.
Yeah.
The lightning bolt, I want to say, was the best power up. I want to say when you did that one, everybody got zapped and shrunk down to like pea size and their top speed thus slowed down and you could just run them over and keep going.
It sounds fun. Maybe next lifetime.
Yeah.
Want to do some emails?
Okay. I like emails.
This one's from Rowan. It says, hello there. I'm the creator of the new Modify Ubuntu website. Just wanted to say thanks for talking about my site on your podcast, Linux for the Rest of Us, episode number 94. From what I got from it, I apparently need to make it a little easier to figure out how to use the site. It does seem hard to use if you don't read/see the home screen. I was wondering if you had any other suggestions, opinions for the website, since you've been helping people with Linux a lot longer than I have. I'll also add awesome to the DE list because I also think awesome is awesome. Thanks again. Just found out about the show. I'll keep on listening. That's from Rowan. Thanks, Rowan. You know, whenever we have somebody write in like that who is the owner or contributor to a website that we discussed on the show, I always worry that I said something idiotic about it.
Me too. As soon as you said that, I said, oh my God.
Oh man.
But See, to me, it wasn't that the website was bad. It was that I got linked into the middle of it.
Right, right.
And I was dropped into the Nautilus section, I believe. And I, and to be honest, it wasn't incredibly clear to me that the left was a menu. You
know I mean? See, I see.
And that was the only thing that confused me. And I was like, Nautilus image converter. And I, and when I first saw image, I thought it was pictures, not disk images. So that was it. I mean, I honestly think the form of the website is good. Simple. I mean, not a lot of flashy colors, not a lot of curved edges.
Which I like too.
Simple.
I like simple.
Right. And honestly, I don't remember the what's new thing there before because I like it. Yeah, what I would say, the only thing I would say that you're quote-unquote missing is, dare I say, a table of contents. Or maybe an RSS so I can subscribe to it. And when new things get posted, I immediately know about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I honestly, one of the things I can't thank him enough for is making it high in the list that you don't have to use Unity. If you don't want to, you can install a different desktop. That to me is one of the biggest power advantages, like check and mate, you know, power play because the other guy's in the penalty box kind of thing. Hmm. That to me is the biggest power play that Linux has on the desktop, is the fact that you don't have to put up with any desktop interface that you don't want to.
Right, right.
You know, if I'm really insistent, I like Cinnamon and I have to run Cinnamon everywhere I go, you basically can. I mean, it might not work perfect on every distribution, but you can get it.
Hmm. That's a good point. That really is. I mean, if you're stuck with macOS or Windows, you're stuck with what that is. And then you get these smaller, like 11.6-inch laptops that are struggling to run the friggin' thing. And then they come out with Windows Starter, which, you know what I mean? It's Linux is a great solution for that. You could fit it to your device.
Yeah.
All right. There's an email here from Willem. I'm not sure if you want me to read this. It was about, it's called from F.LUX open source alternative.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. He says, this is a follow-up of my email about Redshift. I don't have anything against binary blobs, per se. If the blob works, fine. OMG Ubuntu or web update, that's with the number 8 at the end of update, should perhaps have looked for alternatives. However, don't talk to me about AMD/ATI dropping binary driver support for their quote older video cards only a few years old, which work perfectly fine. I need the binary driver to have tear-free video playback.
Tear-free. He meant tear.
He wrote tear. I said tear. It's spelled the same.
I only found out recently, thanks to Twisted Lucidity over at Linux Basics, what tearing is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. I would like to know.
It's like, well, it's like quite literally when the video, there's a spot in the video on the screen where it literally like tears. Like,
like
a big jaggy.
I know what you mean. Dor, hit yes on Google Plus when it asks if you're still there, because mine just got.
I hate that thing.
I know. Sorry if I messed up the paragraph. I just didn't quite understand it, so I couldn't read it properly. But there's a little bit more. Should I keep going here?
Yeah.
If f.lx won't be recompiled for your next xorg/distro release, you may then be out of luck. Below is a small bash script to start, pause, and stop Redshift. For example, you can assign a global keyboard shortcut to pause Redshift with it. To get your location in latitude and longitude, right-click on your location in Google Maps, then select what's here. The position will appear in the search field. Or you could use gtk/redshift. It uses the same arguments. See redshift-h and gtk-redshift-h, but you cannot use both of them at the same time. To use gtk-redshift, you either have to run gtk-redshift with arguments or copy and edit the gtk-redshift.desktop file And then this is a bunch of code. I'm already lost. Right. So I'm not going to read the code. So that sounded very interesting and was a little over my head, to be honest.
Yep. The basic gist is f.lux is not open source.
What is f.lux?
F.lux was the application where first thing in the morning, my screen would be white with a slight blue hue to it. Midday, it would basically be white.
I gotcha. I'm sorry. Right. I am the ignorant one. That's my job here.
Oh, no. And then at night, it would become yellowish.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that concept. I guess I forgot the name because I really liked that idea.
I did too. And he let me know, A, this is not open source application. I really honestly try to run open source when possible, only because I know in the long term, it's going to be better supported and less likely to just all of a sudden fade out of existence.
I see.
So Redshift is the open source all alternative.
Good, because I didn't know what that was either. It all makes sense now. Hey, Willem, I'm sorry I butchered that email. Did it come out okay, Dor, for the people who understood what he was saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's do another one here. This is from Kevin. Ohio Linux Fest announces the Ohio Linux Fest Institute. This is Kevin O'Brien, who is, I forget his post, but he's the Ohio Linux Fest dude. He says, Ohio Linux Fest is proud to announce the lineup for our 2012 presentation of Ohio Linux Fest Institute, OLFI. This program combines high-quality training from top professionals with a bargain price you cannot match in most training opportunities. When you get your training at OLFI, you can count on OLFI classes presented by subject matter experts who are also professional trainers. Trainers include employees of industry leaders like Red Hat and Cloudera, as well as Linux Foundation and LPI. OLFI classes individually would cost several times more than our asking price. This is a tremendous bargain for, quote, professional training. OLFI isn't enthusiasts sharing their experiences, but paid professionals leading students through formalized instruction on the technologies of the day. We have in-depth system administration topics like performance tuning, SE Linux, and advanced shell scripting. We have a Hadoop doubleheader for people interested in big data. And we have a Puppet doubleheader for people looking to tame their configuration management needs. Time management for sysadmins and an intro to the VI editor round out the formal training. For all the details, please go to ohiolinux.org/OLFI2012. From Kevin. It sounds interesting. Who are you?
OFLI 2012, that you said?
ohiolinux.org/OLFI2012.
Gotcha. I just want to make sure it's in the notes.
Yeah, I'll forward you the email. You don't get these?
I'm sure I got it. Okay. I know I got it. Yeah. So what it looks to me like, let me just rationalize this here real quick. Yeah. So Linux Basics Part 1. I honestly believe I'm going to be after one of their classes. So it's 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. lunch, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So it might be 5. I don't know. I'll find out when my time is, and when I do, I'll make sure I let everybody know.
Very cool. And yours is a free class, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because registration for Ohio Linux Fest Institute is $350, for those of you wondering the price. Yeah, I mean, for what you're getting, it's probably pretty hardcore. It's probably a really good deal.
Dude, let me tell you something. Puppet training alone is the kind of thing that can save your business thousands of dollars in man hours a year. Easy. SE Linux, man, if you understand SE Linux, man, that can get you paid some money.
Really?
High-end money.
Damn.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good
to
know.
If you know VI, that just gets you good cred.
Yeah, it looks like a morning session, afternoon session. Look, it looks like an all-day affair, and it looks like you're going to learn a ton. So check it out and go to that link I said and see for yourself all the stuff that's going on there. Last one is from Door to Door Geek. No, it's from Door, but it's from Josh. He says, hey guys, been listening to your guys' show now for almost a year, and I couldn't help send this after hearing you two argue about the value of new Macs with Retina display.
I think you're going to read this one, but go ahead.
I didn't know. I don't even know. I put it in there.
I just didn't want to get you fired up. If this was the one, I think it was.
Is there any reason not to read it other than it getting me fired up?
No, that was it. That was it.
Okay, let me read it. I'm going to get fired up. He says, I've been a Mac user for over 15 years, since I was 14 years old. Oh, okay. I am going to get a little fired up here. I am also a photographer, web, and graphic designer. I also taught for several years at a graphic design school. My first computer was a Mac desktop running System 7. Since then, I have bought several Macs and would only buy Mac up until I found Linux. I feel very bad that Mr. Cherubino would not listen to Dore based on him having no experiential knowledge of a new Mac Retina Ultrabook. I don't think the new Mac, I don't think they're called Ultrabooks, these new Macs. It's a MacBook. So I would like to lend my personal experience to Dore. I know exactly how Cherubino feels and where he's coming from, being in that trap that Apple gets you in. But the truth is, they are very, very, very not worth the money. And now I've learned that the whole Retina display is just a gimmick they're using to rip off their customers. I'm very glad I made the switch to PC/Linux. If you want a quality product that is open and friendly to Linux and worth the price, I strongly suggest Asus or Samsung products. I am actually looking at a Samsung laptop, to be honest. The Asus Zen Ultrabooks and Notebooks are awesome and Linux-friendly. In 2 years, they will still be supported, unlike Apple products. They turn off features in their software for products that are only 1 year old. I've used an Asus Zen Ultrabook, and the screen is crap. Anyway, I'm going to play devil's advocate and look at both sides. I've touched every laptop I think there is out there and looked at the screens and different specs. And we'll get back to this. And they sell them for double the price of his PC with comparative specs. I have no idea why I used to buy them and think they were the only computer company. On top of that, you've got to buy Apple software that locks you in and forces you to upgrade. If you want a fun experience, buy Asus and put Mint KDE or Ubuntu with GNOME Shell on there and watch freedom fly across your screen with cash in your pocket. I have to once again encourage you, Mr. Cherubino, to stop wasting your money on Apple products. They not only waste their users' money, but also make waste when you are left with a $3,000 product that they kill support for, sometimes only 1 year after it's sold. They treat their users like trash in this respect. I think the person who has no right to comment here is Cherubino, who obviously has not used Linux/PC for an extended period of time. The main reasons I switched to Linux from Apple are, one, Apple makes the computers I buy and all the money I spend on them trash after only a couple years. Even after the first year, they start to cut off support here and there. Look at iPhone 4 versus iPhone 4S and the different support they get with iOS 6 as a great recent example. They lock you in to bring their boring, glossy blue interface that pales in comparison to the animation and eye candy and customizability of Linux. Three, for those moral individuals who obey the law, Linux provides everything free and legal. If you are running a Mac, I can't imagine you are very successful on it unless you are breaking the law to get all the software on it that you need for serious work. Josh, this is a pretty crazy email. You know, people do buy software. Anyway, by making their products too overly priced, they make their users software criminals. Make a resolution to not pirate software anymore, and you will see the true lie of Apple and the true beauty of Linux PC. If you really want to get some work done and have fun doing it, then buy a PC half price with similar specs and use the extra cash to get a server or extra monitor. 2 cents from a former Mac guy. That's from Josh. I have to say, you know, I don't use Apple mainly for the OS. I do like the OS and it works great with music, for music. But I mean, the Mac Core Audio is good for music and it works well with a lot of audio interfaces. But like I tried to tell Dore, I really like the hardware, and I'm not talking about the processor or the motherboard. I'm talking about the thing, the keyboard, the screen,
the feely.
The way it feels, the trackpad, how you use it. It's very fluid, and I really enjoy the experience. Guys, that is what you pay for. You're paying for that. You're not really paying for anything else. You're paying for the craftsmanship of the case and the hardware. Of course, it has the same processor, motherboard specs as a PC, and a lot of times even less powerful. But you're not paying for that, in my opinion. You're paying for the luxury shell, the backlit keyboard, the way the keys feel, the screen. And the Retina, I don't understand how a Retina to screen is a gimmick. I don't, because I've seen it and I really like the way it looks. It looks fantastic. It's really good looking. And I could see using that for music production, having those extra pixels and the clarity there. I really like it. I mean, if I had the money, I would buy it. Macs are higher priced. You can say they're overpriced, but that just means usually that you don't have the money to buy one. Mac is for a certain type of public, and it's the people who can afford it. And they're the richest company on the planet. They're doing something right as far as selling. So you shouldn't say, you could say overpriced if you want to, but they're higher priced and people still buy them. So people have the money. Last thing I want to say, I don't pirate software. I buy it. And I could probably be saving a lot of money using Linux and the software on Linux. You're absolutely right there. You got a lot of good points in here too, but you put your opinion in there strongly. So that's why I'm just bringing it back strongly to you. I'm a defender of Apple only because not because of any moral obligation to them. I just like using Apples. I really like the computer itself. They're rock solid. And I enjoy them. So all of your points here, I totally got it. Understood them. I'm still going to maintain. I like using Apples. And by the way, you can install Linux on Apples, right, Dor?
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me at the Linux fests and different conferences, a lot of people have MacBooks and Apple computers with Linux running on them?
Well, I'll say I've only been to one Linux Fest. That was last year's Ohio Linux Fest. The only non-Apple computers I saw were at the System 76 booth, where they were selling their laptops. They're not selling, I think they're just more advertising. And Joel McLaughlin from Tilts had his Asus Transformer with his keyboard. And except for that, I saw at least three Apple MacBooks. And I will say, after the show, me and Steve went for like another 20 minutes. One of the things you said that is unarguable is if you do get one of the Windows computers that costs less, you have a very crappy plastic case.
Yeah.
And I will say the one thing I hate about plastic cases is uneven wear. It makes it just look horrible and they crack after time. Whether it's the hinge opening and closing the lid, or something like that, plastic does crack. So that's true. And I will say, the not defending him, but trying to interpret one of the things he said, the display gimmick is only because it cannot reach its maximum native resolution right now. I keep hearing they're going to have updates in a couple months, so it can, but right now it can't. With that said, I still do think the resolution it displays at when you set it to the highest amount is still higher than comparable Windows notebooks, laptops.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Windows notebook yet go above 1920 by 1080 or 1920 by 1200.
You're going to have to wait. My guess is 6 months, 4 months.
I say 2 years. And, I say 2 years.
Well, I think the only reason they're going to do it, I think at an escalated rate, is because Apple did it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the reason I like the Retina display is I look for resolution when I look at laptops. That's a button for me. I love high resolution. If it's too high, then the text gets too small and the graphics get too small if your screen is too small. Like, I wouldn't get a 1920 by 1080 resolution screen on a 13-inch laptop. But what I liked about the Retina is the resolution is so high, you can, like, bring it back down to 1366 if you want to, what is it, 1440 or to 1920, and it looks good in all three. You know how on a Windows PC, if you lower the resolution, it all looks fuzzy? That doesn't happen with the Retina display. So there's a lot of reasons why I do like the Retina display, and I can't wait for it to come out on other machines. But I think it's innovative. I don't think it's a gimmick. It's not like 3D to me. It's not. It's something that See, it's something that all computers are going to do eventually. So it's not a gimmick. It's like, it's something that I know it's something that I want anyway. So I don't consider it a gimmick. Josh, sorry if I was hard on you, man. I didn't mean to come back at you like that. You do have a good point, though. I don't use Linux enough to be qualified to talk about it. You're absolutely right about that. I use Linux about as much as Dor uses Apple, to be honest. So you had a really good point there, and you had a bunch of other good points too. But I don't know, man. Maybe we should get you on the show and we'll just do a debate. I think that would settle the issue once and for all, and let me get out all of this, whatever is coming out of me. Anyway, I didn't mean to get angry if I did, but I did want to make some points. And thank you for the email. I enjoy being fired up a little bit. I kind of like that. And I'm all wide awake. All right. Right.
And I can't, and just real quick, I can't remember who the other email was from. But I will say he sent us a follow-up email apologizing.
Yeah, we're going to do that one next week.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't mark it for this show yet just because I sent it to you. And I just didn't mark it. But we don't have any emails, so we'll do it for next week. If you guys want to send us emails, we need them. We're out. Send them to doortodoorgeek@podnuts.com or mail at podnuts.com. Also, send them, if you want to send us a voicemail, call 7076-PODNUT on a telephone, and we'll get the voicemail and we'll play it. It's that simple. We need the input, so send us your stuff. We all know you have strong opinions out there. Josh is a perfect example. So I appreciate everybody's experience, and I did appreciate Josh's experience too. It's funny how we all come up through different phases and what computers we have used in the past and what we like now, and I bounce all over the place, but I do have to be honest. The least used operating system in my life is Linux right now, so I got some work to do there, and I admit that. All right, Dor, anything else you want to say to the folks before we end off?
No, I just want to thank everybody for all the support that we have gotten, period. You know, without you guys listening to the show, it will just make this a very bland conversation between me and Steve.
That's true.
And I want to thank everybody ahead of time if they do choose to help me out on my Kickstarter. Thank you very much. If you want to know more about me, just go to doortodoorgeek.com. All the links for all the things I do are there.
And don't forget about Dor's Kickstarter. And what's the link for that again, Dor?
It is if you just go to Kickstarter, search for all one word, Dor to Dor Geek, DorTodorGeek. It will be first in the list.
And guys, remember, you know, of course, if you don't have a ton of money to drop, you don't have to spend for the highest tier. But if you can, just recall before you hit the donate button and you pick an amount, recall all of the joy that Dor has given you through the years. And think about that before you type in your donation. And it'll definitely be worth it because he's putting it towards a good cause. And I'm excited for him. And I'm sure you guys will give and support him any way you can. That's all I have to say about that. All right. Anything else, Dor?
No, I just really want to take this opportunity to thank Tracy Holtz for helping me keep sane during my power outage. Last week, I didn't mention that. I was hate-telling him when my power had juice, and he was reminding me of what it was like to have power.
Thank you, Tracy. That's a nice feeling. All right, guys. That is going to be it for Linux for the rest of us for this week, and we'll see you next time.